A new report reveals 1 in 5 Australian children live with chronic pain, but many face delays of up to 3 years before getting a diagnosis. This persistent pain, lasting longer than 3 months, disrupts several parts of children's life, from school, friendships, and well-being. I spoke with Dr. Joshua Pate, senior lecturer at the University of Technology, Sydney, about why many children are facing a delay in diagnosis.
It's hard to draw huge conclusions from a survey, but this has been our first opportunity at scale to kind of hear from Australian families about what these major barriers are. And I think, like, there's not just one, like, change to reduce waiting lists that will kind of patch it and fix it completely. But, yeah, there's a lot of different things, I guess, that can contribute. And for some, it's, like, not knowing about different care pathways and things. So, like, for instance, about a decade ago now, different pain clinics were set up in various hospitals throughout Australia. And these are pain clinics where there's, like, a pain specialist and a physiotherapist and a psychologist and a nurse and an OT, lots of different people all working together. And that has pretty good evidence behind it from at a global level. And so we started rolling those out, and it's kind of like, it was quite a long time before the waiting list grew, and then now they're very long. And so there's this challenge of, like, when the evidence improves, then the demand increases, and then it's really hard to kind of play catch up. But I think at a kind of systemic level, there's some great tech solutions that are becoming more possible. So in these pain clinics, they run, like, telehealth opportunities for those in rural and remote communities. So there is a bit better access. And I think things like the internet and telehealth are allowing for improved access. But yeah, it's obviously needs more staff, and there's lots of those kind of logistical challenges too.
Chronic pain in children is often dismissed as, you know, growing pains or anxiety. What can healthcare professionals better do to identify chronic pain in children?
Yeah, so the word chronic or persistent pain, it just kind of means it's lasted longer than you expect. And so if someone has a good thorough assessment done by a health professional and basically, like, various different diagnostic labels could be given, and there are certain unique pathologies to kids, like, children aren't just little adults. So once some of those major conditions are ruled out, then sometimes this diagnosis or this label of just saying, oh, well, it's chronic pain or it's a long-term pain gets given. And that's really hard, because if you go to Dr. Google or now Dr. AI with some of these things, it can be really hard. And you're watching TV and there's ads trying to convince you to do certain treatments and quick fixes and things like that. So it's a really hard thing to navigate. And I would say, like, the first step would be getting a health professional that you trust and being okay with getting multiple different opinions. It's really hard to kind of advocate that there's, like, one perfect expert or there's one perfect system, because I think it is so variable from family to family. And we even see this in, like, two kids or two families with similar demographics and lots of variables that are all similar, but one is able to still be going to school full time and the other one's having a couple of days off a week. And research is still trying to unravel and untangle some of the complexities there, because it's really, really hard on all of the different systems, let alone, like, from the family through to the school system to the health system. There's lots of kind of potential miscommunications that can happen.
And I guess, speaking about the school system, what needs to happen for those services, like schools, health services, to work with kids experiencing chronic pain?
Yeah, this is what my PhD was on, and one of my students who's just finished her PhD, we went into schools and provided the latest neuroscience to teachers and to the staff in the school systems, and this was a small pilot. But what we saw was, 1 year later, following them up, that we saw, like, larger system change. It wasn't just, like, one dot point in the curriculum change, but there was an ability to, like, the whole of community approach seemed to be more empowering. So there were quotes like, like pain's become less invisible in the playground, and kids feel more confident to help their friends and sit next to them and stuff like that. So I think there's not just like one approach that's going to fix everything, but there is work being done in different school systems already, but it's in its early stages for now. And I think by everyone kind of understanding more, then we can be able to use a more common language. Because what can happen is, say, like an 8 to 12-year-old or something like that is often when kind of chronic pain starts emerging. That child might be playing lots of sport and they have a coach who's very influential. And then they go to the school and they spend 40% of their awake life with their teacher who's very influential. And then they've got their parents who are very influential, and their siblings and those they admire, and the influencers online or whatever it is. And so there's all these different people who are inadvertently, often it's unintentionally, providing health kind of influence, and this can change people's decisions.
Well, I guess to our listeners who are parents, how can they tell if their children are experiencing chronic pain?
So I guess you can ask them, and I guess it depends on the age, whether they're able to tell you. But I think it's this tricky thing, because sometimes the language and the vocabulary isn't there to explain what's going on. I worked on a series of children's books, actually, to like kind of tackle this problem. And so people can get those in the library. They're called Zoe and Zach's Pain Hacks. And in those books, there's a character, and Zoe goes on this journey of kind of learning more about the neuroscience and finding out more about like the difference between when she's had a scraped knee and then when she's had this tummy pain that doctors have investigated. And so she kind of starts learning about when is pain helpful and when is pain unhelpful, and asking those curious questions. So I think there are resources out there now that can help. But I think getting alongside kids as a starting point and hearing what they have to say about it is probably the first thing. Because like back in the day, the previous kind of healthcare models were very much like, well, the caregiver is the one who's ultimately responsible, so they must do all of the talking. And so even that, I think like health professionals now are being trained in like child first care and things like that. So let's give the children a voice in these conversations to start. But it is a really, really hard one. And it's the kind of topic where a lot of parents say, well, I don't want to keep bringing it up because it could make things worse. And that's exactly right. And I think I just want to say, like, there's not an easy, quick fix here. This is a very challenging, complex topic. But there is hope, and the research has kind of given us more hope than we've ever had before that change is possible.
That was Dr. Joshua Pate, Senior Lecturer at the University of Technology, Sydney, speaking to The Wire.